Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. For tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Tuesday to you. Well, here's my question of the day for you. You ready? What do you think of when you hear the word angel? What do you think of when you think of angels? Do you picture being with wings on perched on a gate in heaven, strumming with a harp? Or do you picture a guardian angel over your shoulder, directing and protecting you? Or do you consider this topic only for sensationalists? Well, my guest today, Dr. Jack Graham, who is no sensationalist, he joins me this hour to reveal the truth of what Scripture says about angels. He's done extensive research. We're going to talk about who they are, what they do, and why it matters. You are in for a powerful, powerful conversation here. Second hour, you are my special guest because it's another edition of Songs and Verses where I'm asking you the question, is there a verse that God's using in your life these days? Is there a song that's just been ministering to your heart? We're going to just reflect on different passages of Scripture. I came armed with a list of songs as well, and I'm going to read from a couple different devotionals, and it'll just be a time of spiritual reset. So we've got a couple of great hours ahead for you. Well, my guest today writes this. This is hardly a fringe topic, I've come to see. Couldn't we all use a little divine guidance throughout our days? Christ is the one who can provide it, and the role of angels is to remind us of that truth. It is a whisper-thin veil that separates the natural from the supernatural, meaning divine activity is all around us. This issue at hand is whether we will have eyes to see it and hearts eager to receive the assistance that God provides through his mystical messengers. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Jack Graham is a pastor of Prestonwood Baptist Church. He can be heard across the country and throughout the world on PowerPoint Ministries. It's a weekly radio broadcast. He and his wife, Deb, live in Frisco, Texas, and they have three grown children. Dr. Graham, welcome to the program.
Well, it's good to be with you, and that is, you know, you got my interest reading that little portion there about this whisper-thin veil that separates us from here to eternity and on the other side. So really looking forward to talking to you about what the angels are all about and why it matters in our lives.
I'm so grateful that you had the courage to delve into this topic. And we're going to get a little bit of that backstory in just a moment. But boy, in such a tumultuous time, we do need to fix our eyes on eternity. And part of what's going on in the spiritual realm is a battle. And I can't wait to just hear what you've learned from Scripture. Before we get to that content of your book, wondering if there's a verse, Pastor Graham, that you either just a life verse or just one you've been pondering these days you can share with us.
Well, my life verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I had to choose two, right?
Yes.
But trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean unto your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And, you know, I've been trekking with the Lord a long time now, and I can tell you that that promise is true, that you can trust God, that he is faithful every step of our lives. And when we lean into him and trust in him, then he prepares a way. He makes a way. Sometimes when there seems to be no way, that verse literally means he will knock everything down in front of us in order that he will make a pathway through. So I've been loving and living that verse a long time now, and I believe it now more than ever. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Fantastic. Yeah. That's why we ask it. And I love how you put that. I've been trekking with the Lord a long time. Fantastic. So, Jack, I know how it is when you have a publisher approach you about a book. I mean, in being in the process, you submit proposals for our, you know, the ideas that God gives us. But here you're approached by the publisher saying, we want you to write a book about angels. And you said...
And I said, no, thank you. actually, I had written a book called Unseen, and it really was a focus on what you talked about earlier in the introduction, just living for eternity and the spiritual things, the supernatural things that are all around us. And in that book, I talked everything about the soul, the unseen soul, of course, and the soul is made to live forever. I talked about heaven. I talked about hell. I talked about spiritual warfare. But in that book, there was a chapter on angels. I said that angels are heaven's warriors, that they're worshipers and they're witnesses of God's word. And pretty much thought, okay, that's what I know about angels, until the publisher challenged me to do this book. And I didn't want to do it necessarily until I began to study the subject. And we who are believers, and as I said, I've been with the Lord a long time now, I certainly knew of the ministry of angels. But I had no idea just the high impact I think that angels have in the Bible. Over 300 references to angels in the Bible. You can hardly turn a page without hearing angel wings fluttering, because they're on page after page of Scripture. Some of the most important events in human history and in the future as well. We see angels often in the book of Revelation. And when I really began to put a pad and pencil to it, I just saw, you know, I couldn't help but write this book. I became so excited about the subject, because it matters in the sense that these angel beings have been created by God for himself, for his glory. And the more we study the angels, the more we know about the greatness and the glory of God. That's ultimately what this is about. This is about in the angels, the ministry of angels, we see the greatness and the glory of God displayed.
Amazing and so beautiful. And I want to say, the reason I would have guessed that you said no up front, and the reason that so many quote-unquote respectable Christians don't want to delve into the topic of angels, is because of the misuses, the misnomers, that those who may be, my boss sometimes calls it dancing on the head of a pin, you know what I mean, where they camp on some far-off point and build a whole theology around something that seems a little out there. And I think that's why so many maybe just don't even go near the topic. And that's why I just feel like it was great courage for you just to say, I'm going to dive in and see what Scripture says. And by doing that, Jack, you're super excited about what Scripture says, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there hasn't been, there have been angel books written along the way. And frankly, some of them have to do with people's experiences with angels. I wasn't, you know, I've got some angel experiences that people that I trust have experienced. But this book is really about what the Bible says about angels, how they interact according to Scripture. Mm-hmm. And again, I throw in some great contemporary stories that I believe are true. But there hasn't been really a major book written on angels in a long time. Billy Graham did one back in the 80s. It was a great resource. But there wasn't a lot written on it. There, you know, in researching it, you know, I was really just looking at the Scripture and saying, what does the Scripture say? And the other side of this subject is, while there's a lot of talk about Satan and demons and darkness, and certainly to be forewarned is to be forearmed. We know there's a spiritual war. We know we have an enemy. And it's good that we, we understand. Paul said, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. So that's important. But on the other hand, there seems to be so much more talk about the devil and demons than God and his holy angels sometimes. And when you realize that the angels are so prominent, and there are millions of them, and they are engaged not only in heaven, but on earth as well. And so I ended up, I couldn't help but write this book, and I'm really glad that I did. And as I've been talking about it since the book came out just last month, I don't get tired of talking about it. It's really, really something that has captured my own imagination. And I'm so grateful to know that God loves us so much that he sent his angels. They belong to him. They were created for him. And yet he sends angels on missions of mercy for us as well.
Just absolutely amazing. What were some of the maybe myths that were dispelled as you started to study, or things that surprised you as you studied and researched Scripture around angels?
One of the most important things to remember about angels is that they are created beings. They don't come into being. They're, you know, from movies and media. Sometimes you get, you know, somebody becomes an angel when they die, and it gets passed on from generation to generation, sometimes in families, that a baby dies and becomes a little angel in heaven and those kinds of things. You also There's this fascination with angels. There was, you know, a great deal of popularity of angels back in the 80s, the television show Touched by an Angel, and other kinds of angel stories. And typically angels were fairly soft and sentimental, and maybe angels were a little cuddly cherub that you'd put on your pillow. But the fact is that angels are mighty spiritual warriors. They're majestic, though mysterious beings. But if you saw an angel, if an angel manifested himself physically before us, we would be tempted to worship that angel, even as John.
I think we're going to pause here and take a break. His phone just dropped out. So let's pause here, Aaron, if we can, and we'll try to get him back on talking to Pastor Jack Graham about his book, Angels, Who They Are, What They Do, and Why It Matters. And guess what? We've got 5 copies to get into your hands. Get into the drawing this way. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address and your name and put Angels somewhere in the email. Also, if you got a question for Jack, include that as well, and I'll try to get that worked in as well. Don't go away. More with pastor and author Jack Graham talking about his book, Angels, Who They Are, What They Do, and Why It Matters. Back in a moment. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Honored to be talking to Dr. Jack Graham, author and pastor. Title of his brand new book, Angels, Who They Are, What They Do, Why It Matters. And he writes, we rise early in the morning and spend time in prayer. We study the scriptures and seek out the promises of God. We listen for the Holy Spirit's whisper, eager to obey. We engage in corporate worship, gaining strength from the company of believers when life has left us feeling weak. We reject a superficial existence, opting for things supernatural instead. And then, with joy and confidence, we share our story of how God found us and changed our lives. What a privilege to do what angels can only admire, to witness the power of Jesus in our lives. So, Jack, if you would, talk to us about the role of angels in our lives. So they're created beings. They don't reproduce. They don't die. They're sometimes named. What is their role? Why did God create them? What are they for?
First and foremost and forever, angels are created to adore and to exalt Jesus, to around the throne of God 24/7, these angel beings, like a magnificent choir, are exalting our God. And that's very important when we think about the angels and when we talk about the angels, that we realize that really the angels aren't about us, all about us. God, in His grace, gives us angels in ministry to us, but ultimately, they are for Him. They are for His glory. And we see in the angels the governance of God in the universe. It's incredible to think about, really, isn't it, that God is in control of everything in the universe, including the governance of the universe. And when you meet the angels in the Bible, you realize that they're a part of this great governance of God, in which they, like an army, are advancing His kingdom and are engaging in spiritual battles and executing God's judgments and doing God's bidding. They are for His will and for His worship of all else. And that's why we should never obsess about angels. You know, when John was tempted to worship that angel in the book of Revelation said, get up, John, and you're going to get us both in trouble here, you know, because you worship God. And so God created these angels to lead the praise choruses, if you will. And angels, in that sense, are worship leaders. They prompt us to praise God. And if we're going to spend eternity worshiping God with the holy angels, then we better get started right now. I love the focus you're having on great songs and great scriptures, because these great songs of praise speak of the worship of our God and ought to come from a heart that has been redeemed. And here's the great news. You know, we have a song to sing that angels can never sing. It's the song of redemption. And while angels can sing and say, holy, 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 and we also exalt the holiness of God, but in His forgiveness and grace and mercy, we can say, redeemed, 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 grace, 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 because of what Christ has done for us.
Boy, so good. Also, angels are for, they can disguise themselves. They can offer encouragement to us, direction, counsel, confirmation, strength, protection. Talk about some of those aspects of the mission, I mean, which makes me feel so cared for as I read those. They're under God's charge so that, that they can guide and direct. Talk about that.
Well, we are living in such a fearful time.
Yeah.
Just the darkness that is all around us and fears and tears that people are experiencing today, ISIS on the move, and the future of the world is in question, and what's going to happen next. And there's so much fear in so many people. As a pastor, I talk to people just today, and they're facing a terminal illness, and there's fear there, of course, a normal fear. But when you realize that we are cared for in the way that God loves us, and to the degree that not only has he given us himself, his spirit who lives in us, that Jesus is alive in us, and the Holy Spirit, our comforter, is with us always. We have the scripture and the comfort of the scriptures. We have God's church, God's people around us to sustain us and strengthen us. But in addition to all of that, these magnificent angels God assigns to us, not particularly necessarily a guardian angel, but more like a guard of angels, that we are guarded by angels, that they are there to minister grace and help and healing. And that's really what the book covers a lot. For example, Elijah, when Elijah is on the run from Jezebel and he's so depressed that he prays to die in the desert. And yet God ministered to him there, spoke to him in a still small voice, reignited him, reset him for the mission and the calling of his life. But in the middle of that story is an angel who ministered to Elijah, helped him get some rest, cook some cakes on the coals. That's where you get the whole idea. That's the first angel food cake, right? That angel who ministered to Elijah there in the desert and sustained him in a physical way. Even Jesus. This is what was so exciting when you begin to read the angel stories in the Bible. They show up in places you don't expect them. Even Jesus, when he was tempted, he also in the wilderness and had withstood the attacks and the assaults of Satan there in the wilderness. At the end, an angel comes and ministers to the Son of God. And that's just such a powerful story. And so we're promised that angels guard us, that they grace us with their presence, even when we don't know it. And I've never seen an angel that I know about, though angels can appear unaware to us. But I've never seen one, but I've definitely sensed angelic activity, divine activity around me. And most all of us can look back in our lives and we can see times when we just wondered, God, did an angel intervene here, that almost accident, that near-death experience or that dark time in our lives when we were sustained and we didn't know how. And now we look back on it and we have to say, you know, God sent an angel to protect me. God sent an angel to watch over me.
Hmm. This is probably a ridiculous question, but I'm thinking it, so surely somebody else is thinking it too. But what do you think they look like?
Well, they probably don't look like what we've seen in artistry. You know, there's a lot back in the Middle Ages, there was a lot of artistry and statuettes and so on of angels. And sometimes they got it a little right. They were seen as majestic, but typically there were wings. We don't know that angels have wings, though. In the story of Isaiah being high and lifted up, he saw the Lord rather high and lifted up. He saw the angels and there were wings. We don't know if they have wings or not. If you saw an angel, you would see an incredible, magnificent, glorious creature that is, you know, they may look human if they manifest themselves as human, as we see at times in the Bible. When they showed up in Scripture, they seemed to have no real otherworldly appearance. There weren't halos that are mentioned, for example, or glow, but just these magnificent beings of light and glory. So we don't know what the angels are like. And this is something good to say about the angels, too. They're mysterious. There are many things that we don't know or can't understand about the angels. And I like that. I mean, it's like It's a faith proposition. We don't know what they look like. And so the writer of Hebrews says sometimes you may have entertained angels unaware. Angels may have intervened in your life, and that especially has to do when we minister to someone, when we care for someone in need. We may have ministered to an angel unaware. It's almost as though God is testing us with an angel there. Just so many wonderful facets of the work of angels. The scripture tells us that angels desire to look upon our worship. I often wonder when we go into a worship service and the time comes to sing, and so many people have their hands in their pocket or they're lackluster in their worship. They're just not engaged in it. I wonder what the angels think when they look at our worship. And the Bible says that angels desire to look upon these things, and angels are around us when we worship. So we need to pay attention and be a part of music and the worship and the melody, because we are entertaining angels all around us.
You know, I wonder what it'd do for our confidence if we could get a glimpse into the spiritual realm to see how, you know, mighty the force, you know what I'm saying, that this army of angels that are standing in the gap for us. We've got about 2 minutes left. I'm wondering if you could just speak to the idea of warfare. You know, I've heard questions asked about, are angels ever pummeled in the spiritual battle, in the, you know, demonic angelic war, or is, what does that look like? What, based on what you studied, what does warfare look like when you think of demons and angels going at it?
Well, we know that the warfare is real, and demons are attacking, and Satan himself is roaming like a lion and destroying and devouring. But when the angels fell out of heaven, and angels were demon spirits, were angels initially. They're fallen angels. They're now demonized creatures, and Satan himself is a fallen angel. But when I read my Bible, you know, 2/3 of the angels remain faithful to God. So we got them 2-1, right? I mean, we have more angels. If God be for us, who can be against us? And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we know the battle, we win, and that angels are fighting in our behalf behind the scenes. And it sounds like we don't have a lot of time to talk about that with 2 minutes left, but maybe when we come back, if we come back, you know, in Daniel chapter 10, we get a glimpse into this spiritual warfare when Daniel was praying. And the warfare is prayer. Oswald Chambers, the great devotional writer, once said that prayer is not preparation for battle. It is the battle. And when we pray, angels move and act in our behalf. And we see that in Daniel chapter 10.
Wow. When we pray, angels move and act on our behalf. Boy, if we could get a glimpse of what happens when kingdom people pray, when we take God's word as it stands and we trust that his promises are true, and we pray his word, if we could get a vision for what happens, what's activated, I think we would pray more. I think we would. It wouldn't be an ought to or a should do. It would be a get to, because it is. Talking to author and pastor Jack Graham about his book, Angels, Who They Are, What They Do, Why It Matters. Would love to get your name on the drawing. We've got 5 copies. We've got from our generous publisher, Bethany House Publishers. They're my family members too. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put your name, address in the subject line, and also remember, put angels somewhere in the body of that email. And we will be back in a moment.
God.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to author and pastor Jack Graham about his amazing book, Angels, Who They Are, What They Do, Why It Matters. He quotes Dr. David Jeremiah, who we have on our lineup and our programming. Dr. David Jeremiah writes this: isn't it reasonable to expect that as demonic activity increases while we near the day of the Lord's return, that angelic activity will also increase? Love for you to speak to that, Dr. Graham, the idea of, you know, because the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard. Before the break, you started to talk about spiritual warfare and how angels engage on our behalf and ultimately for Christ's mission on the earth. Speak to that, if you would.
I'd love to, because it's an important role and responsibility of angels that they fight in behalf of God's kingdom and the advance of God's kingdom and the protection of God's family and God's people. Angels are, you know, these are not your fairy godmother. They are not a Disney princess. They are mighty, spiritual, powerful beings. And in fact, one of my favorite views of an angel is at the end of days when finally Satan is going to be put in the pit, then God sends an angel with lock and key and puts Satan, the devil, in the pit. Now think about that. Of all the disaster that Satan has created, all of the hell that he has unleashed on earth and below the earth, just the powerful being that is Satan. We know Satan is strong and mighty and powerful. But when it comes time to lock him up, God just sends one angel to do it. I love that.
Yeah.
Because it just, these are strong and powerful beings. These are not cuddly cherubs that you sit on your bedstead. And they are often seen in Scripture as executing God's judgment on the earth. You see it even in the Garden of Eden when judgment came upon mankind in the fall of Adam and Eve, that God posted an angel there at Eden as evidence of that judgment and execution of that judgment. The death angel that came through Egypt and at the Passover, when the angels came, those two warrior angels came and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So, and then in the book of Revelation, referencing there what Dr. Jeremiah said, the angel activity at the end of the age, just as there is increasing and encroaching darkness in our times, and we know that we're moving pell-mell towards the end of days and the end of the era as we know it, and Christ is coming soon, and with that, there's tribulation and distress and disaster all around us, and Satan is tearing up, and there's tribulation. Well, with that, God has promised the protection of angels to his children. So we don't need to be afraid. It's so important in our times that we not be afraid. One of the angel messages that you hear again and again, even at the birth of Christ, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy. So we can live in faith and without fear because we know the angels have back. And I was referencing earlier Daniel chapter 10. When Daniel was praying, it was a bad time, a dark time in his life in the nation of Israel. And he's praying, he's fasting, it's 21 days, he's weakening by day, he's struggling in this prayer, and he doesn't know why God isn't answering his prayer, why God isn't moving. And on the 21st day, an angel appears and tells and explains to Daniel somewhat what was going on, and describes an angelic, demonic battle that was going on behind the scenes as he was praying. And this demon spirit was so powerful that God sent Michael, the archangel, to finish him off. And we learn in that when we pray, that prayer is warfare. Prayer is worship. Prayer is certainly devotion, and we ask and receive, but prayer is war. The warfare is prayer. And when we are praying, sometimes we get discouraged. Well, we're praying for that child that's not, living for the Lord or not coming back home to his faith. Or we pray in that sickness for healing. And we wonder, why aren't my prayers getting through? Why doesn't the answer come? Well, it may be that behind the scenes that there is a spiritual battle between demon spirits and angelic spirits. I know this is a little out there for some people. But the fact is, the Bible teaches us that behind the scenes is this powerful warfare that is going on, and prayer engages us in this battle and moves us and gives us victory in Christ. There's a great story I love about angels in the Old Testament when Elisha, not Elijah, but Elisha and his servant are in a place called Dothan, and they're surrounded by the enemy and an Assyrian army, and they are, the servant panics. And he fears they are dead men. But Elisha, the prophet, prayed. Once again, prayer was the key that connected them. And he said, pray that the servant would see all around him and that God would open his eyes. He said, open the eyes of your servant. And when God answered that prayer and opened the eyes of that servant, he saw all around them these mighty spiritual warriors, this angelic army that was there protecting them. Hmm. So it's important that as believers that we know that didn't happen just back then, but that's still happening today. And in a day when there's so much fear and so much terror and so much war and so much danger around us, back to that question in my book, Why It Matters, this is why it matters, because their life and death is at stake. People's lives are at stake. And when we pray, we bequest angels to war in our behalf.
And this is a critical message for our day, Pastor Graham, because the scripture says our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities of the air. And as my producer just typed in the board, he said, so if we aren't really, we're not really fighting if we aren't praying. And I do beat this drum once in a while, but I have to do this here again. When we're duking things out on social media in an adversarial way, and yet we're not praying for those who think differently, we're not praying for those we would maybe consider our enemies, I think we're noise and we're almost useless because we're ranting when we could be praying. I just want you to paint the contrast of, to me, it's like spitting in the ocean versus getting on our knees and seeing the ocean part. I feel like it's that big of a difference, but I'd sure love for you to speak to it.
Yeah, it's like Peter in the garden. When we talk about battling flesh and blood or spiritual battles as compared to physical battles, when the Romans came to take Jesus away in the garden, or the Sanhedrin guard came to take Jesus away in the garden after the prayer of Gethsemane, Peter, you know, took a sword and started swinging. And he was trying to lop someone's head off. He was a fisherman. He wasn't that good of a swordsman. And he missed. I mean, he wasn't trying to cut somebody's ear off. He was trying to cut somebody's head off. And he missed, and the ear came off, and Jesus ministered healing to Malchus, the servant. And that's when he admonished Peter and all of us that, look, our battle here is not against flesh and blood. These are spiritual battles that we're fighting, and we don't win with swords. We win with God's word, the sword of the spirit, and we win with the angels. And we're not undermanned in this fight. Angel activity is increasing as the end draws nearer, and we do have all the resources that we need. We have God's word. We have God's spirit. We have God's church. We have God's angels as well, and they're a part of the battle. They're a part of our lives, and we need to wake up to this war. So what I want to do in this book is what really is to pray what Elisha prayed for his servant when they faced that army opposing them, that, Lord, open our eyes. Open our eyes, because if we can see by faith, if we can see what God has promised is true, the protection and the provision that he has made for us, we would be encouraged, we would be motivated to move forward and never, ever quit.
Boy, so good. I want to say this again, what you just said, just for that person who maybe was driving and not paying attention. We are not undermanned in this fight. Angelic activity is increasing in this darkening day. So when the darkness covers the earth, a thick darkness covers the people, we know that the glory of God is shining on his people and he's working on our behalf. And Pastor Graham, I mean, again, what you just said is such a powerful reminder for us not to react on the surface to people as much as we respond to God in prayer. I'm not to say there's not a day to stand up for what's true. I hope you hear me saying that. But there's so much that can be done if we know greater is he who is in us and greater are those who are for us. I don't know. It seems like it would infuse our souls with confidence. Has it done that for you as you've studied these passages?
Yes, and I'll tell you, and related to that, I'll tell you how it motivates me. The angels are messengers. They are witnesses. The very word angel, angelos, means messenger. And so often in Scripture, they show up and give important messages, delivering God's message to the world. And, of course, you know, you think of, they especially showed up at the time of Christ, before his birth, announcing to Mary that she was pregnant, and to Joseph in a dream, explaining to Joseph the birth of Jesus, and then of course outside at Bethlehem, the angels declaring and praising with hosannas the glory of God, celebrating his birth, and then the angel prompting in a dream Joseph to take the Christ child to Egypt, and then back again at an angel's message, and then as mentioned that Jesus, when he was at the temptation, an angel ministered to there. Jesus spoke about the angels, and then you get to the end of the ministry of Jesus, the earthly ministry, and Jesus could have called 10,000 angels, and Jesus said that himself. He said, "I could call for the angels to come and deliver me," but he didn't. He bled. He died on the cross, and then he rose again, and it was an angel who announced the resurrection. He's not here. He is risen. And it was an angel who accompanied Jesus into heaven at the ascension and said, "He will so come in like manner as you have seen him go." And the angels will accompany Jesus when he returns to earth to take us home to be with him. So on and on I could go. These angels come with messages to us. And that should motivate us to be faithful with the message that we've been given, that we also, like the angels, have been called to be obedient to God and faithful to the message of the gospel that we have been given. Here's a great thought. When Peter and John were in prison, and they were put in prison for preaching Christ and told never to speak the name of Jesus again, an angel came and got them out, right? Angel, this is Acts chapter 5. We talk about it in the book. Angel comes and gets them out of jail, and then says to them, "Go stand and speak all the words of this life." In other words, go tell people about Jesus. Now, the angel could give the message and get them out of jail, but only the believers, the Christians, Peter and John, could go witness of the gospel and all the words of this life. We have a message that even angels aren't privileged to give. It's the message of the gospel, the cross, and the resurrection. Mm. We have been saved. We have been changed by the power of Christ, and we can preach this message.
We can. We sing the song of redemption. Talking to author and pastor Jack Graham, I want every Christian to have a copy of this. I wish so bad we had enough to give to every single one of you, but we've got a good stack, so that's a great start, right? Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember your mailing address, your name, and put angels somewhere in that email. If you've got a question for Pastor Graham, let me know, and I'll try to work that in this last segment. One more segment with Jack Graham, talking about angels, who they are, what they do, why it matters. Hasn't this conversation so far just encouraged you, given you a new holy confidence? It sure has me. More with Jack Graham when we return. Having a fantastic day. And if you just tuned in, I'm telling you, this is one of those conversations you're going to go back and catch the whole podcast when it's up. It'll be up in a little bit. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to author Pastor Jack Graham about his fantastic book, Angels, Who They Are, What They Do, and Why It Matters. And Pastor Graham, you were talking in the book about the ABCs of angelic activity in our lives, that they're available, they're beneficial, and they're constant. Say more about that.
Well, I'd love to. They are available in the sense that you read scriptures that tell us that God has called angels to minister to those who inherit salvation, those who has family. It's not a blanket promise to everyone, though angels may choose to interact anytime God directs them. Primarily, angels are for the blessed. And so they are available, and they are around us, all around. And they are beneficial in the sense that they are fulfilling God's purposes and God's plans. And when you pray, for example, if you pray in your life to know and do God's will, God is going to accomplish his will and his purpose through you. And he may choose to send angels to open or to minister to you in ways that are protective or provisional, and they build such confidence in our lives and to know that we're not alone in the universe. That's the big picture of this. that we are not isolated and alone, that all around are these wonderful and glorious beings to encourage us. And then at death itself, one of the things you read about in the Bible, and I've seen some of the stories that I've heard about angels in my own lifetime, are when angels, Jesus talked about this, that the angels carried the poor man Lazarus into the presence of the Lord. And angels are present when a believer dies. And my own grandfather, when he was dying, spoke of the angels all around. And I don't think he was just hallucinating. So many others that I've known through the years have spoken of similar experiences. And I've got a dear, in fact, the neighbors of ours, I'm their pastor. They had a young son, 9 years of age, die of cancer. And there's no question that an angel came and ministered to this family in the last hours of this child's life. And so from life to death and beyond, angels, there's a great old gospel song, you know, angels come to carry me home. And they do. And come angel band is another one. So we can expect when we come time, when our time comes to lay it down and our time on earth is done, that will be there to comfort us and grace us with God's presence.
Wow. Side note, your voice has been dropping in and out the last few minutes. I'm not sure if your phone is moving in a certain way. I don't want to miss a word you have to say. But here's a question for you. And I'd love for you to clarify. For those who wonder, we can't activate their activity other than the way that we pray, but their angels are at God's beck and call. And as we pray and as we obey and as we live in step with the Lord, we're under God's charge and under his care. And therefore, he determines and sends angels to do his work on our behalf. Is that correct?
Well said. And that's the way I would view it, Susie, that we have no business obsessing about angels, for one. We shouldn't be commanding angels or obsessing about angels. That's kind of a New Age philosophy and really goes way back even to the time of the New Testament. Those kinds of ideas, the worship of angels and engaging angels. And you know, the scripture says be careful with that because you could, in fact, you know, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of God. And so we don't need to be obsessing about angels. Let God be in charge of the angels and let God send them at his bidding and his work. But it's in knowing that God is caring for us, that God is ministering to us. And sometimes I'm asked, you know, if we have the Holy Spirit, why do we need angels? Well, angels aren't God. The Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Trinity. We know we have God's presence. He has promised that he would never leave us. But in addition to that, he has promised that his angels are there to minister to us in times of need.
Boy, so good. And you're sounding much better right now, so I'm not sure what you're doing, but keep doing it. It sounds good.
Okay.
I love it. Yeah. Talk about, if you would, we've got probably about 4 minutes before it's time to wrap and pray. I'm hoping I can squeeze in a few questions here. But you addressed that angels tend to advocacy when we're excluded, when we're despised. What does that look like, or how does that play out?
Well, you know, that is in the story of Abraham. And when he said Hagar off, and it's really an angel story that you might not notice in the Bible, but it's really a passionate story. So to think about this, his handmaiden Hagar, he had conceived a child with her, Ishmael, and he sends her off. I mean, it's a poignant thing. I mean, this little boy. I remember when I watched the Bible series on television, it really was so powerful when you see Abraham, you know, sending off his handmaiden, the mother of this child, Ishmael, and they're out there, and an angel appears to Hagar, this woman who is estranged. She was in some ways ashamed, of course, of this situation she was in, and yet God, in his mercy, in her isolation, in her brokenness, came and with an angel ministered to her. So, you know, what a powerful thought to someone out there who may feel like Hagar, that you've been cast off, you've been shut out, you may be living in isolation, you're wondering about God's plans, you don't know where you're going or what's next, you've got a child, you're a single mom, whatever your situation, know that that God cares about you. And he may minister to you even with an angel to provide for you in your emotional and spiritual health.
Very good. Another thing you address in the book is the idea that angels help to bring confidence when we're being led by the Spirit. Give an example of what that would, how that would work out in our everyday life. Is it a sense of just assurance that we're on the right track?
Yeah, that comes from an angel prompting Philip, the deacon, to go and witness and go to the desert. Philip was in Samaria. A revival was breaking out. God was moving. And it seems like a strange request, but God wanted him to leave all that powerful work of the Spirit in Samaria and go to the desert. And so an angel came, delivered that message, and prompted him to go to the desert. It's there that he met that Ethiopian and led him to Christ. And that man, the Ethiopian, went back and led, you know, perhaps a continent to Christ, or his witness began, initiated that, I should say. But, you know, that's a reminder to us that we are to move at the Spirit's beckoning, and angels prompt us to witness and to share our faith and put us in a position. I just preached a message Sunday on hearing from God. How do you hear from God? And most of the time we're running around. We don't have time for God. We're addicted to busyness. We're addicted to our phones, to our tweeting and texting. And we need to stop tweeting so much and start listening. Because if we'll slow down to listen long enough, we'll hear the still small voice. We might even sense the prompting of angels to go forward and to do something for God's glory. You know, you never know how God could use you until you stop and listen and get his direction.
Boy, I'm going to read one last excerpt before I just let you give some final comments before we pray. But this is from the book Angels by Jack Graham. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper, from Isaiah. If you've never taken that verse to heart, then take it to heart today. No weapon formed against you will prosper when you remain in the Father's grip. God has angel armies ready to protect you, and they live eager to do his will. Our Lord Jesus has defeated the lion that's behind every roar, Satan. The battle has been waged. The battle has been won. And if you place your trust in that, in the great victor, the mighty Lion of Judah, even in your darkest hour, you will discover deliverance and strength and help. Wondering if you could just wrap today, Jack, with a word of encouragement to that person who feels that they're in the throes of enemy taunts and harassments and need to hear that word today, that no weapon formed against us will prosper.
I think of the great story of Daniel when he was tossed into the lion's den for being faithful to his God and praying faithfully. And the angels protected and shut the mouths of lions. That's right there in the Bible. And these vivid examples and illustrations in the Bible and things that we see today. I've got a great friend that was climbing Mount Kilimanjaro that in fact, is Dr. Ken Cooper, a well-known physician and scientist and not a person given to bizarre stories. I mean, but he's certain that an angel delivered him in a very dangerous situation while he was there. But just in the day-to-day of our lives, to know that we're surrounded with God's favor and God's faithfulness, and he has promised the angels to minister to us, to shut the mouths of lions, to defeat the powers of Satan in our lives. And I would say also how it's so important that if you don't, if someone's listening and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you know, you don't need to think about the angels. You need to think about the one that angels adore. You need to turn your heart, your mind, your focus on Jesus. Turn your eyes on Jesus. That's what the angels are prompting us to do. Don't look for angels. The angels are looking out for you. You don't have to look out for them. And so look to Jesus. Trust in Jesus.
Well, Pastor Jack Graham, I pray that you will come back another time and pick up this conversation where we left off. Such rich conversation. Thank you for your time today.
I really enjoyed our conversation. Thank you.
So, so good. Title of his book, again, is Angels, Who They Are, What They Do, Why It Matters. If you want in on the drawing, just email me, Suzy@myfaithradio.com. Remember your name, mailing address, and put angels in that email somewhere. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of this conversation on our website at myfaithradio.com. Don't go away. Songs and Verses is next on Hour 2.